Good evening, I'm Angino. Great having you here. I have a great guest tonight. Jay Paterno is joining me on the 84 Lumber Newsline. He has a new book out, The Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. Jay Paterno joining us right now. Jay, welcome to KDKA. Great to have you on.
Great to be on.
Thank you very much for your time this evening. It's a very interesting thing that you are out with your book from Triumph Books. Once again, Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. At the same time, there are major changes coming to Penn State from the NCAA. How do you view what the NCAA is now doing with Penn State?
Well, first, if I could have coordinated it to help with the book sales, I certainly would have, but I didn't have anything to do with that, obviously. The sanctions being reduced, I think, is a really positive step for a couple reasons. Number one, the kids involved that are on that team now had nothing to do with any of the criminal activity. Number two, I think the sanctions being lessened, whether the NCAA wants to admit it or not, they're using the Mitchell Report really as kind of cover for this, because what really is happening is there is a steady march towards the day when the NCAA is going to be forced to admit that these sanctions were never warranted in the first place. And the litigation has really put some pressure on them. I think there's no question that this is an attempt by them to try and, start to rectify some of the things that they know they got wrong. Whether they admit it or not, it's a whole other story.
Mm-hmm. Isn't there more of a black eye to the Board of Trustees when it comes to what the NCAA ultimately did? Don't you look back at the Board of Trustees and say, okay, here's the free report. NCAA, do with us as you will. We believe it lock, stock, and barrel.
Oh, I think, I don't think there's any question about that. I think the free report has been proven time and time again to have all kinds of holes in it. Just to give you one major example as it relates to Joe Paterno, Louis mm-hmm. Free accused Joe of basically being involved in an attempt to conceal and a conspiracy of silence were the words he used, whereas the prosecutors who had all the evidence, had access to everybody, had subpoena power, have all the evidence, stated completely the opposite, that Joe was involved no way in any shape or form involved in any attempt to conceal or cover up. So that major premise of the free report has already been disproven.
Do you believe that that was given as a directive from the Board of Trustees that you are to find us cover for this? And Joe Paterno would be acceptable to have it all get dumped on him?
I don't know that they did that, so I don't want to try and assert that they did that on purpose. I think that when we get into discovery in these lawsuits, we'll find out if that's the case, because there will be emails and there'll be people that have to speak under oath. So I think, we'll find out whether that's the case or not. I don't know that to be true, so I'm not going to state that. Unlike some of the things they have asserted about certain people and tried to make things they're saying the truth and assign motive, mm-hmm. I'm not going to do that to them. I just won't get into that.
Jay Paterno is with us, the son of Coach Joe Paterno. Many people have suggested over the years that your dad could have done more, should have done more, and then was thinking more about the football program and wanting to advance it instead of worrying about the well-being of children.
Well, that runs completely counter to everything Joe Paterno has ever done in his life. And, as Dr. Fred Berlin, who is an expert in these kind of crimes and in human behavior from the Johns Hopkins University, said, you can't ignore what people have done their entire life and then try to assign motives without proof of something. But there's no question. The only time Joe Paterno was ever told anything about this by a witness, he reported it exactly as he was supposed to, and to the maximum of the law he was allowed to report it and did the maximum. Obviously, if he was going to cover this up in 2001, mm-hmm. He had just had a coach leave the program. And he could have, when Mike McQuarrie came to him to cover this up, you would have said, hey, Mike, you're our new wide receiver coach. Don't ever speak about this again, and let's protect the program. No one's ever – he didn't do it. Mike wasn't hired. I was on the staff at the time, and we hired a new coach that year.
Mm-hmm.
Joe never came to us and said, hey, why don't you think about Mike? So there was no intent to cover up, and people that cover up don't bring more people in the circle. So there was no way an attempt to cover up, and Joe would never do anything to hurt children. That's just not the way he was.
Can we speak a little bit more in detail about this coaching position that you just made mention of? Because a lot of people do believe that somehow McQuarrie was willing to be quiet about this because of some potential payoff down the road. And I would think it's ridiculous that he'd have to wait 3 years to get the payoff. I mean, who does that? But there was a job opportunity that was made available just a couple of days prior to Mike McQuarrie coming to your dad to tell him about what he saw, right?
Absolutely. We had a wide receiver coach that left to go to the Steelers. And so that happened on Thursday. Mike saw something Friday, and on Saturday, you know, he talked to Joe about what he had seen. Now, exactly what he told Joe, I don't know. I wasn't there, and I've never talked to Mike about what he saw. But there's your golden opportunity to say, hey, guess what? I'm going to hire you. Keep your mouth shut. I mean, as somebody once said to me, he said, you know, if people think your dad tried to cover this up, they're assuming two things about your dad, both of which are inaccurate. Number one, that he was corrupt, and number two, that he was stupid. And, you know, Joe Paterno was not perfect, but he was not corrupt and he was not stupid. Joe Paterno was a guy who was an honorable human being. And, yes, he made mistakes in his life.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he went at everything and every problem with the right intentions to try and do things the right way based on the information he had. And I think the other thing we have to understand is it's easy to judge people's actions in 2001, knowing what we know in 2014.
Right.
Now, at that time when Mike came to him, Jerry was considered, you know, didn't work for Joe anymore. He was considered a pillar of the community. He was a non-drinking, church-going, married man who had started a statewide, you know, charity to help young people. So, you know, this was something that was a shocking thing to hear, to be sure.
Many people have suggested that there's no way that Jerry Sandusky was engaged with that in that behavior that he was in abusing young boys that way and then doing it to where no one knew, especially your father. So many people throw the word God around, that he was a god at Penn State, and Joe knew everything about everybody. How do you respond to that?
Well, I can respond by the fact that I lived in that town, and there are some things that I did that he never found out about. I mean, nothing major, mind you, but, I mean, you know, that's just not true. Nobody is all-seeing. No, you know, we used to say to when we were on the staff, hey, Coach, why don't you do this, why don't you do that? And he'd say, look, I'm not omniscient. You guys think that I'm aware of everything and do everything. I'm a human being like anybody else. But that said, I think it's important that people understand the nature of criminals that engage in this kind of activity that we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They go to tremendous lengths to conceal what they do from the people that are closest to them. And that is not me saying that. Those are FBI profilers. Those are experts in this field that say, look, everybody wants to use the word enabler. He said, these people, you know, Jim Clemente, who's an FBI profiler for years, will tell you these people don't have enablers. They don't want enablers. They don't want anybody to know what they're doing. So they do everything they can to conceal it. Now, that said, when it comes to Jerry Sandusky's case, the state of Pennsylvania allowed him to adopt 6 children. They put multiple foster kids in his home. And these are people placing kids in his home that are experts in this field, and they didn't know. So how are we, people who have no training in this field, supposed to see things that experts can't see? It's just not fair. It's not a fair criticism, and it's completely inaccurate.
Jay Paterno is with us. He's the son of Joe Paterno, and his book is Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. It's available through Triumph Books, online at all the usual places. And I want to talk about Jerry Sandusky. I want to talk about the possibility of him going and being a head coach in Virginia. And I want to get to that, and I want to get, there's just so much more to talk about, and I'm thankful that you're able to be with us tonight. And hold on right there. I need to go to a special report that's coming up from CBS News regarding the president and his address to the nation tonight regarding his plans to deal with ISIS. We'll get to that and come back with more with Jay in a moment. Once again, I'm Mangino. With me tonight is Jay Paterno, the son of Coach Joe Paterno, and he has a new book out, The Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. Jay, before we get back into so many of the issues regarding this scandal with Jerry Sandusky, what are you hoping that people take away from reading your book?
Well, I think one of the things I want people to understand, is that this is not a book about Sandusky saga, the scandal. This is not a book just about the last two or three months of my dad's life. I addressed that head on as it relates to my dad in the first chapter. But after that, it's really the lessons that I've learned and so many other people have learned from him over the years. And it's really about that. It's about the kind of educator he was, the teacher he was, you know, how he was a father to his kids, a grandfather to his grandkids, a coach to his players, a boss to his coaches. And I had really lived all those roles and saw them all. So it gives me it'll give the readers a really unique perspective about his life in so many different ways. And you know, I think one of the things that somebody read it and got an email and he said, you know, I see your dad did some of the same things my dad and same kind of lessons. And it's like I was listening to my dad talk and your dad made the same mistakes my dad trying to do certain things. And so you know, I think there's a commonality, but I think it's a much bigger book than just this story.
Clearly, he was a beloved figure at Happy Valley, but he also had his enemies as well. Do you think that there was opportunism by those that didn't like your father and saw this as a way of being able to drive him out and unleash some of their anger, frustration regarding him through all of this?
I mean, there may have been, but, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't have proof that that was a motivating factor.
Is it a thought that grows through your mind from time to time?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it goes through your thought, but you also realize that the other thought that goes through your mind is they panic. They just, you know, all of a sudden, there were people that generally weren't used to dealing with the media.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, there's a big media storm, and they don't know how to handle it. And they didn't know how to handle it. And, you know, on Sunday, Graham Spanier was told by, you know, John Surma, who was, this, you know, not even the chairman of the board of trustees, that he no longer spoke for the university. And on Tuesday, John Surma also, you know, canceled Joe's press conference. So any attempt by Penn State to try and respond to the media was blunted by someone who really, quite frankly, didn't have the authority to make those calls. But, you know, given his track record and losing billions of dollars for U.S. Steel's, you know, shareholders and really destroying billions of dollars of value of Penn State's reputation, you know, it's not surprising he got it wrong.
I'm thinking, I'd like to get your take on this, but maybe the greatest regret that your father had was actually making the statement that he made that he wished in hindsight he had done more?
Well, he wouldn't tell you he regretted that statement because it was honest. He said, you know, look, you know, and what that statement really was saying is, look, I wasn't aware of these, you know, I'm not aware of these issues, wasn't aware of those issues. And he felt guilty, really felt, not guilty, but really felt bad that he wasn't aware of these things. And I said to him at one point, I said, none of us were. I said, he felt like maybe it was because he was too old. Maybe he wasn't aware of these things going on.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he was naive because of his age. And I said, look, I'm half your age. And I didn't know what nice guy offenders were. You know, I thought, you know, in my mind, I have my own kids. But my thought, even up until this all happened, was the threat that was posed to young people was a guy in a white van with candy cruising through a, you know, playground parking lot or elementary school parking lot. You didn't think of it being someone who was in your community, someone you knew, someone who was a married, non-drinking, church-going pillar of the community who had started a statewide charity to benefit young people. I mean, that everything about this guy's life points the other way. And Joe, you know, his regret was, you know, he wished he could have seen something, but had some hindsight that would have clued him into something that he could have gotten caught on to this years earlier or knew what it was all about. And that's a very honest statement. To his credit, he's the only one with the guts to say it.
What about the 98 incident? And the thoughts that were going through the minds of the coaches regarding that? Was it just that everybody completely misconstrued what Jerry was doing? Did it then begin to have people to have doubts in their minds about what he was really up to. Do me a favor. I have to pause here because there's news headlines coming up. Jay Paterno is with us. We're going to get back to more with him. Once again, the book, Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father, available through Triumph Books. It's online at all the usual places. Jay Paterno is my guest. He's a son of Joe Paterno. The book is Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. And the idea is that, one, when it comes to Sandusky, nobody knew. Nobody had any idea. Well, what did people know about the 98 incident that was investigated? What did people then believe? How was it then explained or rationalized when Sandusky got in trouble and was being investigated by police for that first showering incident? We'll get Jay's response to that and a whole lot more coming up. First, though, news headlines. Jay Paterno and his book, Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. More in a moment. Thank you very much, Mr. Shumway. I'm Angino. We are talking with Jay Paterno. He's written a new book, The Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. It's from Triumph Books. It's available online at all the usual places. Jay, I want to talk about going back to 98. The idea is that no one knew what was going on with Jerry Sandusky. That no one really had, could get into this guy's mind and had any idea about the criminality. You referenced about your dad viewing the great threat against people, you know, the guy driving down in the white van. I think that's pretty typical of most people in this country as well. But going back to 98 and the incident where he was investigated for showering with a young boy, what was commonly known at the time with the, amongst the coaching staff regarding that incident? Well, let's start there.
We were never told about it. I mean, that's the fact of the case, the matter. You know, the thing I think people have a misunderstanding about 1998, and certainly Mark Emmert, chief among them, because he issued, you know, in his, the day he issued the sanctions, he said, you know, in 1998, Penn State failed to respond appropriately. The truth of the matter is an allegation was made to campus police by the mother of the victim. The campus police investigated it. Mm-hmm. They took it to the county district attorney. It was investigated by the state. Gary Sandusky and the victim were both analyzed by psychiatrists, by three, and no charges were ever filed. Now, that said, because no charges were filed, we were not made aware of it, because you can't make those kinds of accusations against someone if no charges are filed and make them known to everybody. Joe was not told. No one has ever testified that he was. There's a 90-something page police report on the incident, and Joe's name is nowhere in it. So we were not told. So there was no discussion after 98 about, oh, can you believe that Jerry? And it would have been illegal for us to be told. That's the way the law is. And so we were never told that this incident happened. None of us ever knew about it. So, you know, when people say in 98, we just had no knowledge of it. That's just the reality of it.
Am I not recalling correctly that there were emails that were going back and forth to some extent that involved your father and his knowledge to some level of investigation in 98?
No. There are emails that – there are no emails from Joe at all whatsoever. Joe did not use email. There was an email that referenced – touching base with the coach, doesn't say Joe Paterno, mm-hmm. doesn't say who the coach is. And, you know, at that time, one of the things I think that people have to understand, and I talk about this in the book, at the time, because there was something about, you know, somebody said something about an investigation. Well, at the time, there was an investigation into Curtis Enos, who was one of our running back for us, had taken a suit from an agent. It was being investigated by the state because there were laws on the books that related to agents. So there was an investigation going on with that, which very well may have been what they talked about. The other thing is there's an email that they purport to mean something about Joe, involved Joe, about Jerry. At the time, Jerry Dunn was our basketball coach and was involved in discussions about his future. So there, no one, like I said, no one, all the people that have testified to the prosecutors,
mm-hmm.
Joe's not part of that discussion. And those emails are taken as third-party emails and tried to assign to Joe, and it's just not true. It's not factual.
And there were no rumors that were going around. There were no unofficial comments that were being made that anybody knew of any type of an investigation in any way, shape, or form.
No, not at all. I mean, it's just something. I mean, one of the things that you have to realize about coaching is you're so busy with all the stuff you're going on, you don't have a lot of time to sit around and yap about gossip or things like that. So, even if that was going around, I mean, nobody would come to us and say, "Hey, we heard this about Jerry," and it just never happened. I work with the guy for 4 or 5 years. Now, just to give you some perspective on, just to show you how little I knew, my daughter was on Jerry's granddaughter's soccer team just 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, before this all broke. And Jerry's granddaughter had a birthday party at Jerry's house. My wife dropped my daughter off at Jerry's house and left. I mean, if I had any inkling of what kind of person that, everybody says, "You guys had to know," well, would I put my own child there? No, we didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Jay Paterno with us, son of Coach Joe Paterno. He's author of the book, The Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. Many people saying that, well, Coach had to have known something because that's why he told Jerry he would never be head coach at Penn State.
No, not at all. The only reason that he had that conversation with Jerry was because Joe was getting to a point in his life where he just wanted to be fair to Jerry and say, "Look, I don't think you'd be the next guy." And the reason he told him that is because he said, "Look, you're involved with the second mile, which I think is great. But if you want to be the head coach here, you're going to have to give something up. You can't do both. You can't have 2 feet in 2 different places. And that wasn't that he wanted to stop being part of the second mile. He just felt like he was doing such good there, but he wanted to be realistic and be fair to him. And Jerry was not happy about that. And I understand that. He'd put in a lot of years and probably expected to be the next guy.
Mm-hmm.
But he wasn't. And, that had nothing to do with it. And the other thing about it is all of Joe's notes as it relates to those conversations and Jerry's retirement, we turned over to the Attorney General's office and to the prosecutors and to Free. So, Free made a statement that they found these documents. They didn't. We handed them to him. So we had nothing to hide. Joe had nothing to hide in that regard.
And your dad had no interest in retiring at the time of the conversation of telling Jerry he wasn't going to be the next head coach anyway.
Right. I mean, I think, at that time he was saying 4 or 5 more years, which he had been saying since roughly 1981. So, I mean, at that time in 98, when he told Jerry he'd probably be here 4 or 5 more years, he coached another 12, 13 years. So, I mean, Joe didn't talk about retirement. Joe didn't want anybody to be, he was always fair. He didn't want to be, he was being fair to everybody. He said, "Look, I don't know what's going to happen. I want to be here 4 or 5 more years. I can't promise this to anybody. It's not my call to make as to the next head coaches."
Mm-hmm.
But he told Jerry he did not think he would be the guy and probably wouldn't be the guy. That's the only thing he said to him, just to be fair to Jerry and let him know what he thought.
Was it at that time that once he realized he wasn't going to get the head coaching job at Penn State that he then entertained the idea of being a head coach someplace else?
Well, he then retired in 99, and one of the things that happened was the state pension. At that time, there was a state pension where you could get 35 years at 30 years. There was a window.
Mm-hmm.
So Jerry essentially took that window to retire, and then 2 years, I guess it was 2 years later, decided that he had an interest in going and trying to pursue the head coaching job at the University of Virginia when George Welch retired.
Mm-hmm.
and interviewed for it, and then, was pretty close to getting it. And Al Groh, who was involved in the search committee, was a Virginia alum and was the head coach of the Jets, changed his mind, decided he was going to leave the Jets to go coach Virginia. And that's when, Jerry didn't get the job after that. But otherwise, I know some people down there, and they felt like, he was a strong candidate. They thought they were going to give it to him. And then Al Groh kind of came in and decided he was going to take the job.
So he cleared the entire vetting process out of Virginia, to the best of your understanding?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if the head coach of the Jets, Al Groh, if he doesn't have what happened to him, you believe that Jerry would have been clearly offered the job?
Now, that's, you know, that's from talking to people I know at the University of Virginia. But, you know, again, that's all things they've told me.
Right.
Obviously, I wasn't in the room, and I wasn't the president of the university. And
yes.
So I can't necessarily say he would have been offered the job, but he had interviewed for it. I do know that for a fact. And
mm-hmm.
He was considered a very, very strong candidate for them.
Because some would then suggest that, well, if you would have known or your father would have known that there was this second life that Jerry Sandusky was living, where he was abusing children, that you would have done something previously working at Virginia, and my understanding is that your wife is an alum, that would have ended that search opportunity for him at Virginia.
Well, certainly. I mean, if we had any inclination that, you know, he was any of the things that we now know, you know, again, it's very easy in hindsight and to say, well, you guys should have known because of what we know in 2014. At that time, we just didn't know. And certainly we would not have, it comes down to this basic question. I mean, you know, to believe that we knew and were aware of everything he was doing, yet did nothing about it, you'd have to believe that we were, you know, we were absolutely horrible human beings, and we were not. And that is, you know, we're not perfect. My dad wasn't perfect. I wasn't perfect. But we're certainly not that. And, you know, a person that gives their entire life to educate young people, who donates money and time
mm-hmm.
to educate young people, doesn't suddenly say, well, you know what, this isn't good for my football program. So if some kids have to suffer abuse at the hands of somebody, then I'm okay with that. That's not accurate. It's just not true.
There have been many that have suggested that your father made less than he otherwise could have at Penn State, considering what others were being paid for head coaching jobs around the country.
Oh, that's absolutely true. I mean, this is a guy that in 2011 was making just a little over $1 million a year, and that put him about 9th or 10th in the Big Ten. And this is a guy that had coached longer than everybody else in the Big Ten. Had won more games than anybody else in the country.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, you know, the last 6-7 years of his career, we had the sixth best record in the country. We'd won 2 Big Ten titles in that span, and we're on, you know, 2 games up. You know, my dad was fired. We were 2 games ahead of everyone else in the Big Ten when he was fired, so we ran away to win the 3rd Big Ten title in that span. And at that time, we were the only school in the country winning over 77% of our games and graduating over 80% of our players. So we were performing at the highest levels in the classroom and on the field. And yet he was making $1 million a year. You know, Phil Fulmer at Tennessee was the first coach to make $1 million a year in 94. So, you know, at 94, you had coaches making $1 million a year. The average salary at that, you know, 2011 was in excess of $2 million a year. And Joe was making $1 million a year. So, I mean, you know, it was never, you know, as he said to me, he said, I didn't take a vow of poverty, but I didn't give him this thing to get rich. You know, whatever they pay me, they pay me. I'm mm-hmm. not going to. And he wanted, and the other thing about him is we ran a very, very tight football budget. You know, we didn't spend money on things we didn't need to because there are 31 sports at Penn State, and he wanted everybody in at Penn State to have the chance to compete at the highest level and be fully funded. And for the athletic department to be self-sustaining.
Mm-hmm. Do me a favor. Hold on right there. There's more I want to talk to you about. Jay Paterno is with us. He is the author of the book, Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father from Triumph Books, available online at all the usual places. More with Jay in a moment. Spaghetti for breakfast. Who's ready for it? Next Friday, the 31st annual KDKA Spaghetti Breakfast. Presented by Del Grosso Foods, join Larry and John as they broadcast live from the Heinz Hall Garden Plaza from 5 until 9 at the corner of 6th and Liberty downtown. Enjoy breakfast on us. I'm going to be there. Hopefully you'll be there too. Support the Little Sisters of the Poor and bring non-perishable food donations. Details at kdka.com/spaghetti. You better believe it. Jay, as a good Italian boy, I'm sure you've had spaghetti for breakfast at least a couple of times.
More than a few. And pizza.
And pizza.
I've covered the gamut.
There you go. Lasagna and ravioli cold out of the fridge. That's the way I like it.
The lasagna and ravioli usually never made it past. You know, there were no leftovers for that usually.
Jay Paterno joining us. He is the author of Joe Paterno, Paternal Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. It's published by Triumph Books, available online at all the usual places. It must have been hard for you over the course of the past several years to, and especially not only you, but your mom and the whole family, and that what you knew of Joe to be was completely fell apart in the eyes of so many across the country. Do you feel at all as though his reputation is being restored in any sense in light of what's been happening with the NCAA and the debunking of several aspects of the Free Report and now the Mitchell Report coming out?
Well, I think, yeah. I mean, I think the Free Report, you know, a lot of things have been pointed out that are inaccurate, especially as it relates to my dad now. So that's obviously helped. There's some people that, you know, quite frankly, you're never going to get back no matter what you do. But there are a lot more people that are starting to see that the narratives that were advanced about Joe were not true. You know, it's a process. It's going to take some time for some people to come around, but a lot of people already have. You know, you just got to continue to speak the truth. I think the book is a big help because people will see what kind of person he was as a father in the privacy of our home, you know, mm-hmm. where, you know, not in the public eye. So I think there's a lot of different steps that are being taken and happening. And I think, you know, the thing about the NCAA, what they're doing, you know, when we get to court and discovery happens and depositions happen and really kind of Joe gets his day in court, so to speak, as it relates to what the NCAA and what the Free Report did to him, I think people are going to see this very, very differently.
How important is it to you and the family to have the wins restored?
Well, you know, Joe would have been the first to tell you these aren't my wins. They're Penn State's wins, and they belong to student-athletes. And one of the things I think it's really interesting about the lawsuit is that there are former players in the lawsuit, there's former coaches in the lawsuit, and there are professors in the lawsuit, and there are trustees in the lawsuit. So the lawsuit is a very broad-based group of people. That being said, you know, those wins belong to yeah, Joe was the head coach, but those wins belong to the student athletes who went to school and played and, you know, put in the effort. They belong to professors who didn't commit academic fraud. They belong to advisors who didn't commit academic fraud. They belong to alumni who didn't buy players. You know, we weren't a perfect program, but, you know, we followed the rules, and that should be honored and respected, and that truth should be written in the history books, not you know, not some asterisk next to a bunch of games because of something Louis Free wrote that just wasn't true.
Jay Paterno is with us once again. The book is Paternal Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. There continues to be a great push still in viewing that your father somehow was an accomplice, and if not an accomplice, just absolutely inept and turned either a blind eye or just wasn't able. Has it ever occurred to you or crossed your mind that maybe your father stayed on longer than he should have at Penn State?
No, because when you look at how well we performed over the last 7 years of his career, and it was when you look at, you know, our graduation rates and our winning percentage, we were unsurpassed, and nobody was better than we were at graduating the players and winning at the highest level. So, no, I don't think so. That's the case at all. You know, that's you know, as it relates to what happened with Jerry. I mean, it doesn't matter if he's 84 or 44. You're going to miss him because, you know, Jim Clemente, who is one of the top FBI profilers on these issues in the history of the FBI, he's put dozens and dozens of people away. And they examined hundreds of cases. He said, I put Jerry Sandusky in the top 1% all time of anybody in concealing what they do. So, you know, I don't think there's anything that, you know, there was no turning of a blind eye. There was no ineptitude. This is a guy that fooled people that are absolute experts in this area. And, you know, at the end of the day, we're football coaches. We deal with 18 to 22-year-old kids, maybe 23, maybe 17. But, you know, the kids we deal with are not kids that, you know, we're not trained to recognize symptoms of child abuse or child sexual abuse because we weren't around children. So, you know, no, I don't think he stayed too long at all. I think, you know, when you look at what we did at the end of his career, I think we're very proud of what we did.
Jay Paterno, Jay, I want to let you know, I've been a defender of your father's from the beginning on this, when the word first broke regarding the Sandusky charges, and I think it's been terrible what has been done to your father's good name, and I wish you all the best on this book, and look forward to having you on again sometime.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much, and I think you hit the nail on the head. And I think, you know, we're at a point in this country where, you know, there needs to be an evaluation of how things are covered and some things, because not just my dad, but there's been so many cases where stories have spiraled out of control so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, on the dedication page of the book, I dedicate the book to journalism students and hope that they will pursue the truth, because, as I say, it's the most solemn responsibility of freedom of the press. So,
Jay, I wish I had more time, but I appreciate it this evening. It was a wonderful hour. Thank you very much. Once again, all the best. The Paterno Legacy, Enduring Lessons from the Life and Death of My Father. Stay right there. News is coming up next.